Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.
All right, lads, welcome to... So, why are you laughing already?
go on.
How am I meant to do the intro now?
Sorry, I was just thinking about the bit that you're going to make me do. My name-ish.
All right, lads, welcome to Inside the Video, a brand new series where I sit down with a content creator to take a deep dive into their video, project, anything of the sort. For the fifth episode, I'm joined with...
Ish.
...to talk about their video titled...
1,000 Player Simulate Civilization, Rich and Poor.
To kickstart with the questions here then, Ish.
Let's get right into it then. Okay, let's do it.
For the last 4 years, you've kind of done similar content to this. Where did the inspiration come from, and why did you take up this form of content?
I saw a guy on YouTube, because I'm addicted to YouTube, and I watch some Minecraft videos every now and then, and I saw this guy named Magigum. He made this video, 100 Player Simulate Civilization Society, and his was more of a social experiment lens. Basically, I saw that, and I was like, yep, I gotta do that. Maybe change a few things, do it in my own way, and this is really, really cool. So I'm gonna make one civilization video, see what happens. So I scoured my entire Discord friends list, because at that point I wasn't really a big YouTuber at all, and I managed to pile together 200 people from all across my friends list and all the different servers I was in into one Minecraft server. We did a civilization video, and I didn't expect it to go anywhere, and then little did I know it went somewhere, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm now the Minecraft civilization guy, and now we're here.
Is there any specific reason you chose to do it with 1,000 players?
Because one day my dev came to me and they were like, hey, we have this technology. There's this person I know, another developer named Pure Jira, who is developing something called Multipaper, a server sharding system which allows for 1,000 Minecraft players to be interacting with each other in one server. I can't even begin to explain the system, but I was all in when I heard that. I'm like, that'd be incredible. The amount of innovation and opportunity in 5xing the player count in my videos would be really, really cool. So yeah, that was a very easy call when that was presented to me.
How hard was it to organize?
Pretty hard. Next.
Yeah, fair enough.
You want me to elaborate? Fine, I'll elaborate.
No,
God,
no, you
so
don't
needy.
Have to. It's okay. This is great. It was great.
God, it's like this is a podcast and people want more information.
But this isn't a podcast.
Well,
this is actually inside the video.
Yeah, same thing. Now, yeah, there's many different things. There's the event staffing that we had to put together. Obviously, development. The concept team itself. Making sure that this is a civilization video. Or at least keeping true to the civilization concept as much as possible. Trying to give players as much freedom as possible. Making sure there's no objectives. And doing all those things with 1,000 people, each of whom have different concerns and needs throughout the event. Yeah, it was insane, and it continues to be insane, but somehow my team manages to handle it and handle it very well.
It's a slightly odd one, but it took the internet by storm. Was this somewhat expected, or was it completely unexpected?
I was honestly, I had made a few viral civilization videos earlier in my first answer. I was describing my very first civilization video that was inspired by Magigum. That one only had 200 people, only. But the rich and poor one, I had a few viral videos by that point, and that was like the civilization genre was the only thing I did on my channel that went that viral. So I felt like, yeah, I had established, I don't know, maybe some like credibility, or also just like I knew how to make civilization videos in a way that goes viral. So I was like, yeah, this will probably get like 5 million views, hopefully, in the first month. Like, that'd be really, really nice. That's what I was kind of expecting. The Rich and Poor video was my longest video yet, 2.5 hours. It was actually more than double my previous longest video. I wasn't sure people would want to watch the whole thing. I'm like I personally, if I saw a 2.5 hour video on YouTube, I don't think I would watch it. It's just so freaking long. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? Honestly, I'm not expecting performance to the same degree as the my other viral videos, but I think 5 million, if I got 5 million, I'd be very happy with that. And I wasn't expecting just how viral this would go. This would end up becoming my most popular video by far, I think double my most popular video, actually. That plus the general storm that it caused on the internet. So many people reacting to it, creating art, and also on different platforms, this video erupting. Despite me not being a TikToker, this video somehow, clips of it, montages of it, went viral on TikTok, Instagram, so many other platforms. It's incredible, and I'm very thankful it happened.
In regards to the whole taking the world by storm thing, apparently someone rented out an entire cinema to watch it like a movie. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's insane. I think that was somebody who worked at a cinema, so they got that perhaps for a discounted or free price. But seeing that, I saw that, I think they posted a video on TikTok of them sitting in the theater watching the finale of the video, and yeah, that was incredible. I actually tried renting a movie theater before the video released, just for my friends in the local area, and the prices were insane. It was like one theater offered to do it, but for like $700, another offered for $2,000, so I just decided not to do it. We instead just went to my friend's basement and watched it on a television. Yeah, but anyway, yeah, that felt good. I loved seeing the theater. Maybe one day I can host a premiere in a movie theater for a future video, or perhaps a rewatch of Rich and Poor.
You mentioned that how the video is 2.5 hours long, your longest yet. Do you have a rough estimate of like how many hours the actual recording was?
So the event went on for 10 days, and then I guess two more epilogue days. Each day averaged around 2 to 4 hours of recording. So I'd say an average of 3 hours of recording. So 3 hours times 12 would be about 36 hours of event time.
And then with so many different POVs, how long was the editing process?
I don't normally go into POVs unless I need a specific clip for a reason. So most of it is actually me just going through my own POV and then relying on event staff and event participants to feed me the story of what actually happened in the event. Like right now, I'm working on my next video, and I did something very similar for Rich and Poor, where we have a Discord server with all the important people and leaders from the event itself. And I typically pop in there. I'm like, hey, in the desert, who died on this day and why? And like, you know, just stuff like that. I try to avoid. I do accept submissions for event footage and POVs, but I try to avoid sifting through that as it would take forever.
So in regards to the editing then, how big is your editing team? I remember you mentioning privately that you have a decently sized one.
Yeah, we have a team of contractor editors. Right now we have about 5 to 7 active editors. Some are on and off, but I feel like this right now is a decent size. We also have a graphics editor who specializes in graphics, AntFX, the GOAT. You'll notice the graphics in my Rich and Poor video are substantially better than any of my other videos. That's because we brought Ant on board. That's basically the team, like 5 or so, I'd say, regular editors who fill in clips for me, do like replay mod stuff, sound effects, captions, and then a graphics editor.
You mentioned how you're working on your next one. Do you think you'll match it? Like, not in regards to views or anything like that. I mean, you can reference in regards to views as well. But do you think it'll top how good this one was?
Maybe. I think the story's okay. I'm still in the early process of putting together that video. It's the 1,000 player purge civilization. 3 districts. Players lived in 3 walled off districts. Desert, snow, and jungle. And we had an actual government of over 300 people enforcing the law, not allowing people to escape, and then every now and then all laws went off the books, the sirens rang, and the purge period began, where everything was legal, including murder. And we watched and saw what happened. If you want to see what happens, you'll have to wait a few months for the video.
You briefly touched on it at the start of the video as well, but how, I guess for the timestamp here more so as well, how did you choose who was in the video specifically? This one.
An applications process. We have a very dedicated applications team that sifted through. So in the Rich and Poor video, we had about 9,000 applications, if I remember correctly. In my upcoming video, 1,000 Player Purge Civilization, we had 60,000. A bit of an increase, and we had to make some very frantic and last minute changes to the applications process to make sure we could still host the event on time. So we have an applications process. It's in 3 stages. First stage is a quality check, where it's just if you write more than 3 sentences, you'll probably pass through right away. Second stage is where most people get eliminated. That's where we really hone in on the criteria we have. We try to accept people who are willing to go along with the civilization concept, role players. We try to eliminate the players with what I say call PvP brain. And then stage three is just administrative review.
How did this video in particular push the envelope when compared to past state events?
I think the biggest difference between Rich and Poor and all my other videos is the video quality itself. I every time I upload a video, I call it my best video. And I think that's probably true just because I learn a whole bunch of stuff as I'm editing for each and every video. For example, in Rich and Poor, I feel like the cinematography was like one of the biggest improvements. We used an unlimited render distance mod for the first time. We used really cool looking shaders. And then there's a whole bunch of other stuff regarding editing that I learned throughout the creation of this video. And I also feel like our sound design was also the best yet. And music choices as well, I think, were also the best out of any video. So I think event wise, this was actually a very similar event to my previous 1,000 player civilization video, the one with four islands. But video wise, I think it was the video production that shined.
You mentioned earlier that you have a staff team in the Discord and so they kind of help you out. Again, for a timestamp here, what are kind of the specific roles they play, either in regards to the video, making the video happen, all that kind of jazz?
Yeah, basically we have a bunch of different teams. We have our administrators who head up the different teams. So we have an event staff team who help make sure the event goes smoothly, who act as support for the participants in the events whenever the players have any questions or just want to tell event staff about what's going on plot wise. That's event staff. And then of course our developers, who these events would not be possible without. They set everything up and they do a fantastic job. And then we have a whole bunch of other teams, of course applications team, which we already touched on, and we have our general moderators, a whole bunch of other people who make the events work, and very thankful for each and every single one of them. They do incredible work, and I trust them.
I had the honor of talking to Saps about the conspiracy storyline. It was one of the main focuses of the video. Was it a surprise to you that it all went down as well as it did?
So I knew it was day five in the video that the spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen, that the big trap happened and all of the Island 2 leaders perished a horrible, horrible death at the hands of none other than Fluixon, or Fluxion as people and I call him in the video. I knew that was coming because we actually got I think it was an event staff ticket, or just event staff filled me in, because players tell event staff before they make any major plays. That was one that we were anticipating, and I was watching that ceiling for like a good half an hour before that trap went off. And finally, when it did, it was incredible. It was so cool to have witnessed that. And then the rest of the conspiracy, some things I did not see coming. I was so worried for Saps at many points throughout the video, because again, these events, they're not scripted. Any main character can die at any point, and if they die in a way that's like legitimate, then it's canon and their story is over right there and then. It was unbelievable, this whole conspiracy plot line, as you mentioned, that it went down the way it did. Flux's second trap on day 10 in the video, I did not see coming. That was a complete surprise. There are so many completely unexpected things that occurred that I'm very thankful did.
Again, to reference Saps here, just because it keeps it in line. They were you have a repeat rule set up. That's an exact name for it, I believe, where you can't have like repeat leaders. Obviously, it worked out really, really well. But was that also something that you thought might have affected the video in any way?
Yeah, I think it has a big effect on the video. A lot of the previous leaders from my previous videos, they got leadership roles, I think largely because of their competence in leadership positions and their dedication to the role. But by preventing them from doing so, and the reason we do so is because they have like clout, I suppose, now, and they can use that to much more easily create larger nations, larger groups, and also to keep the videos more fresh. But anyway, I think it had a big effect on the video because a lot of those people from previous videos probably would have wanted to continue being big leaders in Rich and Poor. I think it had an effect on the video that way. We got to see a lot more fresh faces and a lot more new characters build themselves up in the community. And it was cool to see.
Were there any other aspects of the video that positively shocked you? It can even be down to something that didn't really impact the video too much, but you just thought was cool.
I thought it was cool that there actually didn't end up being too big of a focus on rich and poor. That was the whole concept of the event. People didn't know that concept coming in. They just knew that it would be two islands. They didn't know that one would be a beautiful, green, rich, luscious paradise, and the other one would be an absolute barren wasteland. That we kept secret, and for good reason. But ultimately, it didn't end up being a big focus in the video, and I actually really like that. There was a narrative that formed that, in my opinion, was much more interesting than rich versus poor go to war because of their arguments over resources. There was a lot of resource-based debates and conflicts that did arise, but the main conflicts in the video were very politically driven, and the themes were more universal and, in my opinion, more interesting. A friend betraying a friend, conflict over, I guess, immigration and refusal to extradite a certain citizen who was a criminal, Shpu trying to get Knight Arcturus back. These are more classical civilization concepts, and I guess in real life in general in society. And I'm very glad, and was I don't know if I'd say surprised, but I'm happy that it didn't just end up being a purely rich island versus poor island type of video.
Since the release of this video, you've been in things like MCC, you've been in Block Wars. Do you feel, or kind of, did you expect as many opportunities to arise from this as you've had now?
Obviously not. No, it's been so cool. The video blowing up was, yeah, unexpected factor number one. And I guess all the event opportunities that have since followed, I guess that's natural, right? Because I mean, yeah, it's been really, really cool. And MCC is something that I watched many, many years ago, and to be able to play in it myself has been super cool. Block Wars as well. Played one round of Chamber Trials as well. All these super, super cool events with really unique and well-designed game modes that the public never gets to play, but I got to play. I never expected this to happen. Never honestly expected this to happen. But I guess all it takes is one viral video.
Let's say it has absolutely zero effect on the video, right? You still get the amount of same opportunity, same amount of views, same absolutely everything. Nothing about the aftermath of the video changes. Is there anything in the video you would change? Like a storyline or a certain aspect? Anything that you change? Like nothing, the aftermath doesn't change? There's just something in the video that maybe you would like to see different, or not because it was bad, but you just, I guess, alternate universe type of stuff.
There's a bunch of player storylines, especially the smaller ones, that I had to cut out because of the sheer complexity of the events. 1,000 people. There's going to be a bunch of people who have really cool stories and do really cool things. But given that I like to focus on the larger narratives, because I think that's what viewers find most compelling. And I think I offer like a fair summary, overall summary of what happens in the world. The bigger conflicts that had the largest impact on the event itself. By focusing on those, I create what I think to be a really cool narrative. But at the same time, there is also a bunch of smaller narratives that I miss out on in the video. And I don't think I'd make the video differently, but if I had to change one thing, I'd maybe focus a little bit more on the smaller narratives. Remy the Rat, for example, was one of the smaller narratives, and the Barbenheimer side story as well. If anything, it also, people who play in these events, they can make their own first-person POV stories. And one of them did, Canadian Cartel. Their POV got, I think, like 3 to 4 million views on YouTube before my video even came out. It was incredible. So, I love the side stories. For narrative purposes, I think the main story is what's most compelling. But in future videos, I don't know if I'll focus more on the smaller narratives because, again, viewers don't care about those as much. I'll definitely show a few, but I just love seeing them.
Is there anything else I haven't asked you about today, or anything you might have wanted to talk about in regards to the video? Just kind of yap about whatever here.
I think everything on the internet, I think everything that can be released about this video, I've already somewhere discussed on either a different podcast or just like in my behind the scenes. I've talked about this video so much now, I honestly don't think that there's anything new. You probably have to really start digging or asking me hyper specific questions. I'll say this, I really enjoyed working with the leaders and the main characters behind the scenes. means, I'm always really, really thankful that even like a year after the event ended, people were still constantly willing to talk with me, communicate with me, and do extra voice lines from the event. That's always been a really, really cool thing that despite the event having ended many, many months ago, people are still willing to work with me. They haven't moved on. They're still eagerly waiting for the video and are active participants in helping me create that video. So, I'm really, really thankful for the players and their patience during the production process.
Since you said about Hyper Specific, I have one more question. In regards to your newest event that is happening, since the last event blew up and you talked about earlier about the change in applications, for example, like the difference in applications, for example, do you feel that in this video there's more people trying to be the main character?
I don't know. Honestly, that's probably a better question for event staff. They have a more thorough understanding of the day-to-day. They're the ones who get the tickets of people asking like, hey, can I assassinate all of these people for this reason? And then they have to go, typically they say yes if the reason's good enough, but sometimes they have to just go, no, that's a stupid reason. You just want to RDM, you just want to kill them for no reason. So I don't have the stats, but perhaps tickets accepted versus denied would be a good measurement for whether or not there's more quote-unquote main characters. I guess you call it main character syndrome is a term that I've used or that I've seen for it. But I don't know, I don't think about it that much because it seems kind of, I don't know, derogatory. I just see it not as like main character versus non-main character. I just see it more like, is this good roleplay over is this bad roleplay? And I think when people try to actively become the main character and do whatever it takes, I classify that as bad roleplay. But sometimes they get through and sometimes they end up creating a compelling narrative due to their desire to be a larger character in the video. And if that happens, I'm not complaining. You could go ahead, try and become a main character. So yeah, I don't think that there's been I haven't noticed a sizable increase in people trying to become a main character. I think our applications process sifted a lot of those people out. And yeah, I did notice that being a large issue, at least larger than previous events.
In that case, that's all. Thank you very much for today. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Orbitz.
Woohoo!